consistently attract soulmate clients, begin showing up on brand, monetizing on your calling. Welcome all spiritual coaches, leaders, healers, light workers, and practitioners to a show that turns you on in your business and amplifies your magnetism. I'm host, catalyst, and spiritual business coach Rosalind Fung, and I'm here to journey with you into the juicy and help you discover where the real gaps are. Ignite your mindsets and soul with strategies and systems as each episode takes you to the sweet spot that activates your soulgasmic business. Enjoy this light language activation as we begin to magnetize and monetize. Good morning, my loves, or good afternoon or evening, whenever you're tuning in live or on the replay. Thank you so much for tuning in and choosing to spend your time with us here today. If you enjoy this episode, please do share it on Instagram, Bold Sexy Warrior, and on Facebook, it's Rosalind Fung Coaching, Bold Sexy Warrior. We've got a really juicy one today. I am so excited, and this is for you if... especially if you're a parent of a teen. This episode is for you. Today, we're going to jam about how to connect with your teens and raise empowered teens. The questions that we're going to go through today help teens understand and trust their own intuition. What can parents do if their teen isn't listening to them? I think all of us can be perking our ears right now. And what can our children's preteen and teen years teach us about ourselves? And what does communication have to do with energy? I have a very special guest, one of my girlfriends, Deanne Barrett, here to join us, a beautiful, powerful international parent coach and host of the Radiant Mom podcast. Deanne is here to teach moms how to talk with their preteens so the teenage years aren't so scary. Before Deanne became a mom, she works with thousands of teenagers as a high school English teacher, and she could see that the teens who stayed out of trouble, had nice friends, and did well in school were the ones who had a close connected relationship with their parents. Now Deanne teaches moms how to stop nagging and controlling and start communicating to connect with their preteens and teens. Deanne is an international parent coach, host of the podcast Radiant Mom, and mom of two preteens in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. And that's actually where I was born, but raised here in Edmonton, which is exactly where I just flew in from Kelowna back home here. Hang out with my parents. So we'll see if I get triggered into my teen stuff. Welcome, Deanne. So glad you're here, love.
Thank you, Roz. I'm so grateful to be here and have this conversation with you.
Oh, I'm so excited. Can we please start with how you got to be who you are and do what you do today?
Yeah. So when I was in high school and I was a teenager, I was deciding, you know, what am I really good at? What are my gifts? What are my skills? And I decided that I wanted to be a teacher. And what I loved was stories and reading and talking about stories. And so that took me on the path to becoming an English language arts teacher. But I was very shy and reserved. I was a wallflower. And so when I told people that I was, I got my first job teaching high school, they were like, Deanne, you're so brave. Like, what are you doing? Teenagers are so scary. And that was really the start of me understanding how much fear there is around teenagers and how we've got it all wrong. Because what I learned so quickly is that teenagers are really at a unique stage of life, absolutely, as they are growing and developing, but they have such intense passion for things. They just put their whole selves into it, and they are just lit up when they have a sense of purpose. But what happens is sometimes they feel really stuck and purposeless. And I know school contributes to that. So as a teacher, I was really driven by how do I help these amazing people at this incredible stage of their life realize that they are here for a reason? And how do we support them with the skills that they need to be able to live inside of that reason and figure what that is and really connect with people and be amazing? And so I learned so much from my adolescent learners about who I was and what I thought was important as I tried to support them in doing that work. So I really, you know, have studied the teenage years, and I did that for over a decade before I became a mom. So I'm doing this interesting life experiment of, you know, now that I'm raising my kids, right now they're 8 and 10, I'm really trying to make the most of each stage with them, because I'm really looking at how do I build a strong foundation with them so that when they hit the teenage years, when they are trying to be their own person and really evaluating, you know, what did we learn at home and do we really believe that, that I'll be in a position of having this really strong, connected, close relationship with them so that we can ride through some of that turbulence that happens that's necessary at that stage in their development. So I realized that this is where a lot of parents need support, is how do we not be afraid of the teenage years? How do we trust and give our kids opportunities to problem solve, even though we might feel scared about it? So that's what I do with parents, is how do we really create a strong connected relationship? How do we create a strong foundation so that we can enjoy the incredible stage that is the teenage stage, enjoy their passion, get curious about how they see things differently than we do, because this is kind of big picture purpose. We need to see things differently. We need creative problem solvers. We need people who can shine their light and shift the way things are done in this world, because this is part of our continual evolution, is being able to do things differently and respond to the needs that we have in front of us. And along the way, I've, you know, done some energy work, some Reiki work. So really, you know, working with the seen world and the unseen world to really support people. And really it's about communication. How do we communicate our values? How do we communicate to our children that they are loved and precious and important, even when we're asking them to take out the garbage?
I love this so much, Deanne. I believe, and maybe let me know if you see this too, but I believe that, you know, we, like you and I probably grew up and thinking about like the stereotypes of how people think about teenagers, and it's more of a negative connotation than a positive one. Would you agree with that? And do you see that's been shifting, or only in your work that once people are able to open up to new perspectives of being in awe and wonderments of teens? Because I don't see that as a, you know, as the dominant response in how people think of teens.
Yeah, our default setting is fear, because teens stir up for us things that are unresolved. They really do. They, you know, when our teenager, this person that we love and we have committed so much effort and energy and love and time into setting them up for success, and then when they start making their own decisions, it's easy to feel like you're screwing it all up. This beautiful life that I've, you know, spent the last decade and more nurturing, you're screwing it up with your poor decision making. And it really, what it stirs up for us is fear and distrust, and really taking a look at where we have put our time and energy. And instead, we get to focus on how can I support you? How can I help you to be able to problem solve? How do I help you to be able to, you, my teen, how do I help you assess risk in your life? And so there's really an opportunity there to reflect on what's being stirred up for us And then really tune into where's the gap in my teen's skill set. They just might not know some pieces. You know, I had over the summer, I had a bunch of moms who said to me, Deanne, I had to go get my teenager a job. They have no idea how to write a resume, how to go share their resume, how to talk to employers, how to do an interview. I had to do so many steps for them. And they realized, these mothers realized, oh, I thought they knew how to get a job, but they've never done it before. How would they know? You know? So we're really in this place of tuning into who is this person in front of me? And how do I support them to meet the challenges that are in their life? And like no other time in our lives, that adolescent period is really tricky because sometimes we treat them like children. Sometimes we expect them to be as mature as adults, and they're in between for quite a lot of years. So it's a tricky time, but it really calls us to do a lot of tuning in. Who am I? What am I facing as a parent? And how do I get curious about who my adolescent is, what they need, what they know how to do, and where they need support?
That is a powerful perspective shifting. So as you, our listeners, are tuning in and you have a teen or almost teen, you know, even for myself, my boys are 7 and 9 now, and it's not going to be that much longer until next thing I know, they're driving. And yeah. Deanne, already my 9-year-old's like, no more kisses on the lips, mommy. You know, and I can really see how he's very influenced by his peers and how most of them are saying, that's gross if you still kiss your mom on the lips. My 7-year-old's like, I still want to kiss you on the lips, mommy. And I'm like, oh, thank goodness, at least one of two. Wow. But I also recognize that it's not personal. And I think that a lot of us, because Deanne, I always say, there is no greater teacher than our children. Mm-hmm. Boy, oh boy, right? Because they're not on purpose trying to trigger us. And it's just so interesting how that gets reflected back, because everything is neutral until we put meaning to it. And how we do that is based on our belief system. So I love how you're sharing new ways to approach our relationship with our teens and our kids in general, and staying in wonderment and curiosity and being in service to them to connect with that relationship. Now, before we go a little bit deeper into that part, I'm really curious, back to you, Deanne. At what point, like, was there something that happened, or maybe it was a series of events that made you realize, like, wow, I really want to focus on teens? Was it before you were a teacher? Was it while you were teaching?
That's a good question. Why teens? Well, I think even as a high school student, you know, I remember looking around at some of my peers and thinking, I'm not like the rest of you. There was something where I felt like, you know, my mom would often describe me as an old soul. It's like I could see the patterns of what everyone else was doing. I was like, oh, some of that is just, you know, I'm not so worried about being popular. You know, I'm just happy to be who I am and kind of go at my own pace and do my own thing. Because that's more, you know, having this rich inner life was important to me. And really knowing that we all need to have a rich inner life. We don't all know how to do that. And so when I could see some of my peers, and then I was in youth ministry for a while, working with adolescents, connecting them to something bigger than they are. That's really the piece that I realized, you know, it was part of the stereotype that teenagers are narcissistic. They're self-involved and only care about themselves. It's one stereotype. And part of that is based on the truth that adolescents are starting to take a look at who they are apart from their family. And they need to do that in order to leave our homes, which for most parents is what we want. We want them to go and live on their own and create their own life. So they need to be able to do that. But what they also need is to understand that they are connected to something bigger than they are. And yes. So that is something that I realized in those adolescent years, that's really what they need. But often they don't know that's what they need. And we need to find both, right? Who am I as an individual, as a person, not as one member of my family, but standing on my own two feet? And also, in the, you know, leading into their future, how can I connect with something bigger than me to give me a sense of purpose so I'm not rudderless? So I think that's why teens, Roz, thanks for asking that question, because it's important to trace that back in my own mind. I think that's why, because it's such a unique stage, and there's so many stereotypes, and I've seen so many adolescents feel really hopeless and stuck. You know, some students will describe it like being in prison, being at school, like they're in this holding cell. They're not yet in the adult world. They're no longer children. They're just kind of churning out these assignments because they aren't connected to a purpose, something bigger than themselves. They don't see that they have a role in their community, even though in many ways they do. So absolutely. I just, you can tell I get fired up when people want to talk about teenagers.
I love it.
Because I'm often trying to speak another voice into what it is that's happening in that stage, and not live in the fear.
I believe that people like you who are advocates for teens in this world, advocates for parents of teens, to really see them in the highest form and highest version and all the possibilities that they can step into to like break free of those stereotypes. So I want to acknowledge you for being in your soul purpose. It's deeply important. And I mean, really, teens are the future, right? They're the next generation. And it's so deeply important that we become that next level conscious parent so that we can raise empowered teens. And at this point, their self-esteem is so delicate. So delicate. So I love the perspective that you're taking on and the gift that you have in really getting to know teens as a teacher, as you support them in services and seeing them, this whole new side to them, and seeing how incredibly resilient they are. And just like you said, there's these stereotypes about them being narcissists and ego. And I think on a psychological level, yes, this is the normal developing stage. And I believe that we need to honor that and help them also emphasize on that empathy aspect. So, and we can only do that if we're mirroring that.
Absolutely.
So that's so powerful. Thank you, love. What we're going to do right now is move into commercial. And those of you that are tuning in, I would really love for you to reflect on the conversation so far, reflect on your relationship and how you go into it with your teen or preteen.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
My loves, you know you're here as a soul-led leader to transform this world through the sharing of your passions and gifts. You are here to be in your warrior of light and align your business with your highest self. I'm Rosalind Fung of the show Activate Your Soulgasmic Business. Let's elevate your business to the next expansive level. I invite you to flow into a business soul alignment discovery call with me at rosalindfung.com. That's R-O-S-A-L-Y-N, fun as in have some fun, F-U-N-G, and let's see how I can best hold space for you to align your highest self, magnetize your dream clients, and monetize on your soul mission. I can't wait to connect.
Coping 19, brought to you by CDC and the Ad Council.
Do you feel like your emotions are all over the place? That's normal during this abnormal time. There are a number of ways to cope. Maintain a healthy routine, get enough sleep, eat nutritious food, and exercise at least 30 minutes each day. Schedule some time to talk with a friend or family member. And remember, you can always take a few deep breaths to feel more centered.
Find more self-care and coping tips at coping-19.org.
All right, welcome back, loves. So, Deanna, I'd love to hear, what are some really common themes and challenges that parents of teen are go through? And I think that'll be really helpful so that as they're tuning in, they can see they're not alone in this and that it's common and that there is solutions here.
Yeah. So the biggest thing that parents of teens ask me, and every other little thing falls under this big umbrella, it's how do I set boundaries for my teen without damaging our relationship? That's always what it comes down to. How do I set boundaries without damaging the relationship? And it's finding that sweet spot, because we want to be encouraging and positive and share our love with our kids. And we also know that at every stage, our children need limits and need boundaries, because that's what keeps them safe. And the tricky part about the teenage years is teens often push back on the boundaries, and they push back because they want to know that there is a boundary, because it keeps them safe. But it's really about finding that sweet spot of, you know, what are our boundaries that this child, this teen can handle? How can I expand the boundaries and give them more room, you know, to go out into the world and try different things and take on the kinds of challenges they can handle? And how do I keep our relationship strong? So one of the biggest questions that falls under that big umbrella is, how do I stop nagging them about the chores? Because they're just not doing it. You know, they're supposed to take out the garbage, empty the dishwasher, you know, do all these things as a way of making a contribution to our household life. But as a mom, I end up nagging, yelling, cajoling, reminding, and that takes its toll on the relationship. So that's...
Can I just say that's not just teens?
No, right?
Yeah, I find myself like totally doing that. And for me, my struggle would be, how do we... you know, do that without having to quote unquote have an external reward? How do we move it more into it being intrinsic? That they want to help because they know they're contributing and it feels good to contribute to the larger sum or greater whole.
Yeah. And I love that you described that, Roz, because it's like, okay, I can give them external rewards, but what I really want for them is to do it because it's the right thing to do. And I will tell you, that is like a decade-long journey transitioning from one to the other. It's a much longer time frame than we think it's going to be. And that's part of it. Recognizing that we are in the position of continually supporting that process. And so in the early stages, our kids do it because we do it with them, right? You know, my daughter's 8. She does not love having to wipe the table after dinner and having to sweep the floor. And every day, it sometimes feels like it's a battle, but we are just so consistent. And most nights we can be loving about it. Although we're all human. Sometimes, you know, it does not feel so loving, but it's really just, you know, this is what we do. This is how we contribute to our family. And often it's, let's hurry up and get this done. And then we can do something fun. So notice all the strategies that I stacked up. One, we're doing it together at this stage. And when we look at doing it together, we might think, well, yeah, she's 8. And then maybe when she's 9, we'll do it together. But by 15, they should be able to do it by themselves. We often feel like it's this upward trajectory, like, you know, the graph that keeps going up. And it's not that. When our children move through stages of their life, you know, they hit puberty and they have all these hormones. And then when they're in high school, they're through puberty, but their brain is under construction. It's reconstructing itself. All of that is incredibly taxing. It's a lot of work being an adolescent. And so often there'll be periods of time, like my son is 10. He's very responsible. He can do lots of the household jobs by himself. He doesn't need to be reminded. It's like, oh, isn't he the perfect child? I bet money on the fact that when he goes through puberty or then later his brain is under reconstruction, we'll be at a different stage and I'll need to do it with him more. And I will need to remind him more. So as much as we feel like their age is increasingly getting higher and higher, so their skill level should get better and better and better, it is more like, remember the old-fashioned telephone cords, Roz? The loopy ones?
Yep.
It's their development and their ability to do things is more like a looping cord, right? They'll be on the top of the loop getting really good at things, and then they'll regress. Or they'll, you know, be not as organized, or they'll be not as diligent, or they'll care less about it. And that's when we just need to scoop them up with love and say, okay, remember, this is the expectation. Let's do it together. You know, do we need to change your chore around the house? Are you just tired of it? You know, what would you like to do to make a contribution? How can we do this first and then move on to a fun thing? And we scoop them up and encourage them with all of those things. And then they'll hit a stage where they can do it on their own for a while. But it's really being consistent and tuning in to where they are right now and letting go of the expectation that they're going to get better at it as they get older.
Okay, what you just shared is like, I'm being mind blown right now, and I'm sure this is supporting other parents right now as they're tuning in being like, oh, okay, so nothing's wrong with them.
Yeah.
This is normal development. This is completely normal development that it's going to look like they're regressing rather than progressing for a time. And this is an opportunity for us as parents to step in and maintain the connection. Because it's not so much about, at least this is how I'm making meaning of it, it's not so much about the doing, it's about the being in the relationship, that you're here, you're supporting them, you're not judging them. You're not moving into a freak out stage and then making it seem like there's something wrong with you or them as they're quote unquote regressing. I really love this, Deanne. It's powerful. It's really powerful to see
you
things this way.
You get it, Roz. Your reframing of it was
yay. Gold stars
beautiful.
For me.
Gold stars, top notch student. Yeah, because you're right.
Wow.
All those things. That's the question I get all the time too. Is like, Deanne, is this normal? And sometimes I say, normal or not, this is the behavior you're working with. You know, and. Part of it is we have these really high expectations of what this stage is going to look like. And often what happens is we see our kids performing so well outside of our home, right? Everyone tells
yes.
us our kid is lovely.
Yes.
Right? Or they're
yes.
doing so well at school. Or like
yes.
my daughter helps tidy around her classroom. I was like, why is she not doing that at home?
Yeah, right? That's exactly my thoughts. We're
we
like, whose child are you talking about?
Yeah. And so when they're at home, we expect them to be this like model citizen sometimes. But remember, they are trying really hard to keep it together in all sorts of social settings. And this is a silver lining of the cloud of, like, who is this kid at my house? When they come home to us, they are their unvarnished, uncut selves, and they're often tired and depleted. So what that means, unfortunately, is we often get the crankiest version of them. But what that all means is they trust us to be themselves, and they need to be at home to recharge and replenish. And that doesn't mean they're off the hook of doing their chores, but it helps us understand why we see them be performing really well outside of the home or in certain contexts. You know, maybe they perform really well in their sport, but school is not so hot, or they perform really well in their part-time job, but they could care less about English class. But when we see them at home, recognizing this is the downtime, this is the retreat, this is where they can let it all hang out because they are putting a lot of effort in other places.
Thank you for sharing this. I really know that this is helping a lot of the parents out there who are taking it so personal, like, what's wrong with my parenting? Why doesn't my teen respect me? This really is such a beautiful and powerful way to look at it. Like, no, they trust you enough to just kind of, be totally not having to hold it all together because they feel safe. And that's, if we look at it from that way, everything is aligned. Mm-hmm. In how you're showing up as a parent, it's like, okay, that's a new way to see it, is when my child's falling apart or not, you know, living up to the quote unquote standards you have, there's a reason for that. So how do we find that balance then to, like you shared, this doesn't mean they're off the hook from taking on the responsibilities and contributing to the household. What's that look like?
Yeah. So it's both and. Honey, I know you're tired, and there are still some things we need to get done. How can I support you to do those things? And so the first step is always empathy. Always empathy. I am reading back to them what you feel like they're feeling. You know, it looks like you're really tired. And then working with them to problem solve. Because here's what we default into, is we solve the problems for them. Okay, you have hockey practice tonight, so you need to do the garbages right now so they get done in time. And then we just end up bossing them around, but because we're project managing, right? There's many moving parts and we're trying to project manage.
Okay, I'm so guilty.
And I'll turn, yeah, me too. Roz, I teach this and then I find myself, whoops, I put my project manager hat on. Let me rewind that, delete. Let me go back to, okay, you have a hockey practice tonight and the garbage needs to be out on the curb by 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. How are you going to get both of those things done?
Beautiful. So helping really them become better decision makers.
Yes, absolutely. It's really framing the criteria. Here are the things that must get done. How are you going to do it? I mean, because there's lots of ways they could do it. They could be like, I'm going to do it after hockey practice. And in your mind, you might think, I don't think you're going to remember. So then the next question is, how are you going to remember to do that? Well, I'll set a reminder on my phone, or I'll put a sticky note on my bedroom door so I do it. And they've got to try their strategy. And sometimes their strategy won't work. And that's going to piss us off, because you're like, you didn't take the garbage out again. But recognize, okay, this is, you know, as annoying it is that the garbage didn't get taken out, what we're trying to do long term over the next, you give yourself 5 years, is teach them how to get things done in their own way. It's like, okay, so leaving a note on your door didn't work. What's going to be your next strategy? Now what needs to happen? We have a stinky garbage still in the house. Now what? And so it really is holding them accountable for completing the tasks, and also having some grace for them as they try different strategies that are different than the way you would do it. Because that's really, think about that big purpose. What we really want is them to be creative problem solvers, because that's what our world needs. And so trust that they can figure it out, It might take them a couple of tries, and that's okay, but they need to find their way of doing it, not always do it our way. But we definitely are setting the container.
Yes, this is so powerful. And, you know, it's really not that different than coaching in general, right? And one of the things I'd like to share is that I found really powerful, and this is something that I teach my clients to keep in mind, is to hold the vision, to hold the possibilities of who they can step into. Because as soon as we give power to our limiting beliefs about them, meaning, oh, they're never going to figure it out, or they're not going to get that done, or whatever, you know, your attention goes where your energy flows, where your attention goes. And so then we aren't holding the vision and the possibilities of them to step into, because we're showing up in the limitation of how we see them. So what I'm hearing you say, Deanne, is hold the vision. I think this is inviting radical patience. Mm-hmm. Radical patience. And just trusting that they are going to move into creative solutions. And I love what you shared about you as parents. We can frame the criteria, and then they can choose how they want to operate within that criteria. That's so powerful. Mm-hmm. I'm like excited to try this on. Thank you.
Yeah. And this is why, Roz, I'm glad you said that. This is why it's so powerful when I work with parents of preteens, because it takes practice on our part to do this. And if we can start practicing when our kids are younger, you know, I'm using this strategy with my 8 and 10 year old, you know, they have the capacity to handle, you know, problem solving and figuring out daily tasks. You know, it's developmentally appropriate for their age, and I'm practicing so that when we get to higher stakes things, you know, it's a little bit more tricky than just getting the garbage out. It's, you know, Mom, I want to go to this party on Saturday night. Can I take the car? You know, it's a little bit higher stakes. And by then I will have practiced, you know, okay, take a deep breath, ground yourself. You know, this feels scary, but what are the parameters I need to set, you know, to keep this child safe? And where do they have room to try something and to take a small risk? And are they ready for it? So it really is, if we can practice when they're younger, then we're training ourselves to be able to do this well as they move out into more challenging experiences in the world.
You know, I really love this too. We could apply this in our own relationship with ourselves. Here's the criteria. What are all the ways that I can meet this criteria? And brainstorm, you know, whether it's in business or in relationship or with our health, whatever that might be, or maybe even money, calling in more money. It's like, we usually have that automated way of thinking, and this allows us to take ourselves out of tunnel vision and look at all the different possibilities that are available for us to get the same results. In psychology terms, that's equifinity. Many paths lead to one. And I love this so much. Like, I'm really excited about this this beautiful wisdom that you're sharing with us. So thank you.
Mm-hmm. Let me just share too, that on the note of, you know, thinking of multiple possibilities, adolescents aren't good at that, but they can be. They're just not good at it yet. So over and over again in my classroom, mm-hmm. I'll ask students, okay, let's brainstorm. What are some many ways we can solve this? And they come up with one or two, and it's like, let's not think that our first or second idea is going to be the best one. And so we need opportunities to problem solve so that we get better at it. So if you ask your teen, like, how are you going to solve this? And it's like, I don't know. You know, we get the grunt or the one word answer. You know, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We got to sit with that, and we can maybe offer a menu, because from our experience, we might have thought of a couple of ways. You know, well, you could try this or you could try this. You come up with some. But if we consistently put them in that sphere to have to think of multiple solutions, that's how they'll get better at it.
Okay, this is so powerful, Deanne. I'm like, yay, I'm so glad my kids are still young.
Yeah.
Okay, this is really empowering. So as we move into commercial, I'm going to invite you listeners to really see how you can start to open up more possibilities for going into relationship with your kids, your teen, even yourself and your different challenges in your own life.
Free your mind. Expand your soul. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
If I could be you,
and you could be me, for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes,
walk a mile in my shoes,
walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out, and for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Okay, Deanne, we are going to go into one more hot question. Maybe another one if we have some time, but I think we need to ask this. What is the secret about parenting that you, like, everyone wishes they knew?
Okay, this is a big one, and it might surprise people. The biggest thing, secret about parenting is that we are susceptible to peer pressure. And what I mean by that is we are so worried. You know, you think teenage years is like, oh, I don't want my kids to fall prey to peer pressure. I don't want them to substitute someone else's judgment for their own. But what happens is we do this all the time. And it's when our kids come home and they're like, Mom, I want to do this thing. Everybody else's parents let them do it. And that makes us think, oh, gosh, you know, if everybody else is doing it, am I too strict? Am I depriving my child of an experience? And we are really comparing everyone else's parenting judgment to our experience. And sometimes we say yes to things because other parents are letting their children do that thing, or we think they are, and we haven't really checked in with ourselves and our own intuition and our own knowledge of who our child is, who our family is, what we value, and what is really important to us.
Mm.
And so I think that knowing that we feel this kind of social pressure, judged based on at least what we perceive other parents are allowing. And a big one, you know, when we're looking at preteens into teenage years is when we give our children a cell phone, right? My son's 10 and he's like, Mom, I think most of the kids in my class have a cell phone and he doesn't have one. And so this is, you know, a point of conversation in our home. And I think the opportunity here for parents when their child tells them everyone else gets to do this, all the other parents are letting them, that is really an opportunity for our self-reflection and really going inward and thinking, you know, what is important? And also opening the conversation with our child. What does this mean for you? And sometimes it's really helping them with their FOMO, right? Their fear of missing out.
Yes.
And sometimes it's looking and saying, you know what? I haven't let you do that because I'm afraid and I need to work with my fear. And maybe it could be okay. So there's no one right answer. Sometimes when we hear all the other parents are letting them do that, we'll say, okay, you can do that too. And sometimes we'll be like, nope, still no. And here's why. But when we can help our children understand how we arrive at our decisions, that is really powerful for them.
Yes.
And especially yes, in this world that we're in now, where there's so much mudslinging and binaries of, you know, we hear it in politics, you know, you're this kind of person or you're vaccinated mm-hmm. or not vaccinated. Mm-hmm. We put people in these categories. And yes. what's more powerful is understanding, how did that person that I know and love arrive at that decision?
That's 1000% mic drop. Mic drop. Yes, it's, I really love what you just shared and really want to highlight this, Deanne. Just really being transparent. And this is, I would say, a really powerful way to communicate with everybody in your life, right? It's like, okay, here's my decision and here's how my process is, you know, and it may not be agreed upon with the other party, but that doesn't matter so much as you are valuing your own values and standing in your own power and finding that if it's with in a party, it's like finding the win-win-win as much as possible. Mm-hmm. And when we can have empathy for others in how they came to make their own decisions. So in this case, our kids, you know, we're having, and sometimes I think they wouldn't have, they'd be like, oh, what are you talking about, mom? Then giving them the words to go, oh, okay, so here's what I'm guessing, you know, then they can process that and be like, yeah, that's correct. It's helpful. It's really helpful so that we can have, like you shared, empathy for the other and understanding.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's really powerful. Really powerful.
And then in turn, we get in touch with, you know, how getting curious about how our kids arrive at their decisions. You know, mm-hmm. sometimes we hear this phrase when we're angry, you know, with someone, we're like, what were you thinking? But we can actually use that in a more generous way. It's like, yeah. help me understand how you arrived at that decision. Because yes. often the final product might not be pretty, but the way they arrived at getting there, mm-hmm. we can see, mm-hmm. you know, maybe where they made an error in their judgment or where they misjudged things. And that's going to give us more information to know how to support them than just seeing their failure.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And that shifts the whole conversation and builds more on the rapport too. It's like, oh, absolutely. And they feel seen and heard.
Yes.
You're not judging them for the decision they've made, even though we might not agree with it. It's like, yeah, help me understand how you arrived to this. I don't really get it. So teach me, show me. Yeah. I'm curious. And we can learn so much about that and how our kids think. And sometimes I'm in awe of how my kids think. I'm like, wow, that's brilliant. I would have never thought about that. It's such creativity in how they come up with their ideas and the way they play them out. I'm fascinated.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great space to be in, to be curious and fascinated and wondering, like, how did you come up with that?
I just need to remember to be in that space when I'm annoyed at my kids.
Yeah. That's a practice.
It totally is. And the other, you know, there's so many amazing takeaways here for me personally. So thank you so much for dropping. And I'm sure we barely even scratched the surface, like dropping your wisdom here. And, you know, for what I'm really hearing is my takeaways for myself are be in curiosity, be in fascination, know what's a normal developmental stage and support that normal development. And it could look like regressing. It's not personal to you as a parent. They're not You know, where my mind would probably go was, oh my God, worst case scenario. Oh my gosh, they're going to be a criminal. Maybe not that bad, but you know, they're going to be so selfish and they're going to, you know, start bullying other kids. But in reality, that's not true. And it's like taking that extra time out for myself to really reflect on noticing when I'm triggered. Some of the beliefs that are coming up, the worries, the fears, and sit with that and shift that. So you've given me a lot to think about. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're such a good student, Roz. That was a really good, that was an exit slip, me hearing what you take away.
I always ask people what their takeaways are. So, you know, and I always love when people share that. So I just, yeah, this was really profound for me. Thank you, love. So if there are any moms who are interested in working with you as their coach, how can they get connected?
Yeah, they can come over to my website, radiantmom.ca. I'm here in Canada, so it's a .ca on the end. Or follow me on Instagram at Radiant Mom Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And so people yes. can connect with me and do a free 30-minute consultation call and just see if it's a good fit for us to work together.
Absolutely. And we have a podcast together on your podcast, too.
Yeah, so, we do.
Yes, I should say an episode on your podcast. So we can definitely link that in the show notes as well, love.
Perfect. That's great.
So good. I love it. So what we're going to do now in the last little bit here to close the show is to do our usual guided meditation with light language activation to support us. The intention for this one is to support us to move into curiosity, fascination of our children, our preteens, teen, however old your children are right now as you're listening. And to hold space for their brilliance and for us to come into our own next level conscious parenting abilities. So I'm going to invite you to just take a breath into all of this. And then just cleansing breath out. Exhaling, taking a little bit longer on the exhale, that calms your nervous system. Breathing in again from belly to heart. And as you're here in your heart, thinking about your children and how much love you have for them. You gave birth to these beautiful humans, or maybe you adopted them. Whatever the situation is, you are their parent. And on a soul level, you chose each other in this lifetime, honoring this with your heart. Taking your breath into your third eye in the crown. Expanding your breath out into the cosmos. Feeling into all the love and gratitude you have for your child or children. Suspending your breath, conjuring in your power of this love. And then just slowly exhaling any resistance, anything that's not serving or supporting you. And just once again, breathing into your heart space. Bring your awareness to your solar plexus, your power center. And feel into the possibilities of you stepping into your next level, conscious parenting self. If you're struggling with something in relationship with your child right now, notice shifting into curiosity in this moment, into wonderment and awe, and I'm so curious about their process. I'm so curious in how they came to be showing up and making these decisions, even if I don't agree with it. But let me step out of my own way and come on their side and stay curious, stay in fascination. Because it's hard to be judgmental and curious at the same time. So it's expand in this energy of curiosity and wonderment and awe. Feel into this situation that you may be struggling with them in. Notice the shifts. Breathe it in, breathe the shifts in. Muro kura kira kura tia nera kura tia. Mira kira kura tia kura tia. Breathing in and out. Beautiful, staying with your power within. Thank you so much, Deanne, for being here. Thank you, my listeners, for tuning in.